at the moon. Don't know what I am. In your arms a while.
Namaste and blessings, Sadgurunath Maharaj Ki. Welcome to Meditative Living. This is Swami Shivananda Giri, the representative of the Guru of Mahadeva Mahayoga, His Holiness Mahamandaleshwar Paramahamsa Swarupananda Vishwaguru Maharaj, Los Angeles, California, who in 2007 became the very first white-skinned, American-born human being to be invited into the rank of the 80 Mahamandaleshwars on this particular planet, whose dharma it is to disseminate and defend Sanatana Dharma, better known as Hinduism. Sanatana Dharma, most correctly translated, would be the eternal natural way by which any human may turn their attention within, move inwards, upwards, and outwards, and find the truth within themselves. Today we continue with the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri, who was the guru of the guru of this Swami's guru. Bhagwan Nityananda was a very unique individual. He was not given to the practice of discourse, as we would commonly use and understand them. Nityananda didn't have a whole lot to say most of the time, but at times when he would be deep in transcendental states, he would speak to the students gathered round. And one in particular of his students, a woman named Tulsi Amma, started writing these things down. And eventually, after 7 years of collecting these statements, given any number of different ways. They weren't all entranced. Sometimes he would just say things, you know, just like you and I say things, for the benefit of the students, to increase their understanding. Anyhow, after about 7 years of collecting these statements, Tulsi Amma went to Nityananda and asked if she could pursue having them published in order to assist others who couldn't come to see Nityananda or didn't have things to study that may assist them in understanding. So he approved that. And this is the only book accredited to Nityananda, though he didn't write a word of it. Now, we continue today with verse 230. Nityananda said, "Just as there are the gutters on both sides of the road for water to flow freely, so also you must allow the breath to take an upward course freely. It requires great effort to carry a stone upwards, but without the least effort on our part, it suddenly comes down. Similarly is concentration. It is easy to take birth, but it is very difficult to leave the body. We must discover the source of a river. After it joins the sea, there is no use seeing the river. To a tree, mother root is the most important. All other roots are subsidiary. When we raise a chair, our breath goes upwards. That is the seat of prana. When we are cooking, flames of fire have an upward course. So also the smoke takes an upward course. In the lighted chimney, the course of the heated air is upwards. Similarly, in the heart space within the head, the course of breath is upwards. Our joy is caused by the motion of the air. Without this air motion, there is no blood circulation. When a water canal is dammed, the motion of water has come to an end. So also in this body, such a dam is vata, pitta, and kapha." The commentary. Prana, the Shiva Shakti in man, must freely move in the body in an upward direction. Just as there are the gutters on both sides of the road for the water to flow freely, so also by the practice of pranayama, the nerves in the body should be purified, and the path of prana to the sahasrar, or the crown chakra, this is at the top of your skull, inside the skull, at the top of the brain, is where the sahasrar, the thousand-petaled lotus, is located. The sahasrar in the brain should be made clear of any obstacle. When this is accomplished, God's bliss will be experienced of its own accord. It requires great effort to take a stone uphill, but without the least effort, it can be thrown down. Similarly, it is very difficult to concentrate the mind on the Atman, which is the individuated unit of consciousness, which is equal to the divine, only a limited portion of it, much like a spark coming off of a fire. But it is very easy to lead the mind away from the Atman. It is very easy to take birth, but it's very difficult to pay that back by realizing the goal of life, to come into direct union or yoga with God. We must discover the source of a river. It is of no use seeing the river after it enters into the sea. We must realize the source from where we originated. God must be realized, who is the source of all creation. God is to man what the mother root is to the tree. Mother root in a tree is the most important. So also, God realization is the most important thing to man. The seat of prana in man is upwards. When we raise the chair, our breath goes upwards. This upward direction is the real seat of prana in man. When we are cooking, the flames of fire have an upward course, so also the smoke takes an upward course. In a lighted chimney, the heated air has its course upwards. Similarly, in the heart space within the head, the course of breath is upwards. When the kundalini in man reaches the heart space in the head, there will be only one breath in man, and that breath is the upward breath. Joy in man is caused by the motion of this air. Without this air motion, or prana, there is no blood circulation. Without the blood circulation, the body ceases to function. When a water canal is dammed, the motion of water comes to an end. So also in the body, such a dam is vata, pitta, and kapha, the three humors in the body. Vata, pitta, and kapha are the three hindrances for the free circulation in the body. Hence, they are like a dam within the body. These three humors must be annihilated by the constant practice of pranayama. Now, kindly allow this Swami to unpack a little bit of this. When, through whatever practice you are engaged in, you may begin to experience transcendent states. These can be blissful, these can be empty, these can be confusing, these can be frightening. But just because you've had one or many does not mean you are done. You have not yet reached the full expression, the full realization, and become stable there. Many of these scenes and inward lights and sounds and such, they come and they go, they come and they go, they come and they go, they come and they go. You get glimpses of the goal, but that is not the goal. At some point, it will become appropriate for you to begin really focusing. Remember earlier this Swami said, this is all about going inward, upward, and outward. You become very focused in the effort, and it is an effort, to direct the breath upwards, not just down into the lungs. Not just out of the nose or mouth, upwards. And it is a real thing. You genuinely can do this. It is not the air of the breath itself. It is the energy carried, the prana. And this is directed upwards and then outwards. So it is a very real thing, but one of the issues that many people run into is they will attempt to accomplish this before the proper foundation has been laid. So much like an architect, can design the greatest building, if that architect does not set a proper foundation, the greatest building is completely unstable and will fall. And this is what happens with people. A lot of people, matter of fact. And even those of us who are carefully guided by one supremely qualified to give that guidance will have falls. It happens. It's not a big deal. It's part of the process. And we keep growing and we keep practicing until it's over. Moving on. Verse 231. Nityananda said, "Head is the seat where the smell of musk, sandal paste, camphor, and concentrated camphor is experienced. Ants swarm at the place where there is sugar. Where the sound of Omkar is experienced, there is no ignorance. That which is seen by the spiritual eye is the real heart. That which is seen by the physical eye is not the real heart. The greatest is the head. The origin of breath is in true Ananda. The real Ananda is in the cavity of the heart. The house of breath is the dwelling of Kundalini. This is the house of Shiva. This is our real happy home of peace. This is the home of Sattvaguna. One who lives in this house does not care for honor and dishonor. This is the home of a yogi who has renounced everything. This is the home of those who have the power of subtle discrimination. This is the house of Kundalini. This home is the heart home." The commentary. When by the practice of yoga, Kundalini is raised to the head, a man smells all sorts of smells. Hence, the head in man is the seat where the smell of musk, sandal paste, camphor, and concentrated camphor is experienced. Ants swarm to a place where there is sugar. Knowledge is in him who eternally experiences the sound of Omkar in the head. Where the sound of Omkar is experienced, there is no ignorance. Heart, or Chittakasha, is that which is seen by the spiritual eye. That which is seen by the gross eye is not the real heart. The head in man is the greatest. It is the seat of Ananda within man. The origin of breath is in true Ananda. By the way, Ananda means bliss. The real Ananda is in this cavity of the heart. Chittakasha, the true house of breath, is the dwelling of Kundalini. Chittakasha is the house where Shiva dwells in man. It is the home of supreme peace. It is the house of Sattvaguna. It is the real home of Kundalini. When Kundalini is one with Chittakasha in the heart space within the head, mukti, or freedom, is attained. One who lives in this heart space does not care about honor or dishonor. Such a man or woman is above the duality of the world. Heart space in the head is the home of a yogi where he may always dwell. Heart space is the home of those who have the power of subtle discrimination. This sky of consciousness is realized directly by those who have attained the highest in spirituality. Verse 232. Nityananda said, "Those who do not concentrate on breath have no aim, no state, no intelligence, and no fulfillment. So concentrate and think. Concentrate on indrawing and outgoing breath. Draw the breath in properly. Breathe, concentrating on the sound the breath produces. Concentrate on the sound which is produced internally. Have faith in the internal sound and breathe. Breathe in, breathe deeper and deeper. Breathe in so that the internal sound may be audible to the ears. Do not think of anything else. Eating and drinking, coming and standing and eating, these do not elevate the soul. Cook for yourself. Do not desire to eat what others have cooked. O mind, do what you do with faith." The commentary. Concentration on breath is the most vital thing in the realization of Atman. Those who do not concentrate have no aim, no state, no intelligence, and no fulfillment. Their minds are not well controlled, and they do not achieve the highest in spirituality. So, a man or woman must concentrate on the breath and ponder about God. O man, concentrate on the indrawing and outgoing breath. Draw the breath in properly. Breathe, concentrating on the sound the breath produces. Concentrate on the sound which is produced by the breath we draw in. Have faith in the internal sound and the internal breath. Breathe in, breathe deeper, then deeper. Breathe in so that the internal sound produced by the breath may be audible to the ear. Think only of the breath and not of anything else. Eating, drinking, coming, going, these do not elevate the soul. Realize the eternal Atman. Cook for yourself. Do not desire to eat what is cooked by others. Have experience yourself. Realize the Atman by your own effort. Do not think of being elevated by others. Exert yourself and reach the goal. O mind, do what you do with faith. There is nothing greater than this faith. Allow this Swami to say, regardless, when the mind becomes, as it naturally is and is designed to be, what we refer to as the monkey mind, it jumps from branch to branch, here to there, after this, after that, jump, 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 jump. Well, the mind is doing what it's designed to do, but you've not yet accomplished the mastery of the mind. And it is possible, it takes work. And this is the type of work being discussed right here. Verse 233, Nityananda said, "Round a leafless tree, wind blows in vain, there is no response. In a dead body, there is no air, no prana, no sound. Without air, an animal cannot live in this world." The commentary. Prana is the mainstay of life. Without prana, there is no sound, no movement within the body. Just as there is no response from a leafless tree to the wind that blows around it, there is no response to anything from a dead body. On this mundane sphere, no animal can live without prana. Prana is the all to animals. And we must include the humans within that category in this case. Verse 234. Nityananda said, "The engine, body, does not move without steam, prana. A coconut tree does not yield jackfruit. What one talks without experience is in vain. The judge and the magistrate hear what the plaintiff and the defendant say and form an idea of the case. But they do not know the truth of the case. It is not enough if you have sugar in the hand. You must taste it to know its sweetness. Although there is water in the bowels of the earth, we must dig a well in order to get the water. The main thing is the internal practice and the union of prana with Parabrahma in the center of the brain. This is seeing God face to face. This is the fulfillment of yoga. This is eternal peace." The commentary. The body cannot move without prana in it, just as an engine cannot work without the steam energy in it. Prana is to the body what the steam is to the steam engine. A coconut tree does not yield jackfruits. In the same manner, a worldly man cannot lead one to God. A God-realized preceptor is absolutely necessary for a man to be one with God. Talking about experience about God is of no use whatsoever. Talking without experience about God is of no use whatsoever. We cannot know what the exact truth about God is by book knowledge. Forming an idea about God and bliss is like the hearing of a judge or a magistrate what the plaintiff and the defendant say and forming an idea of the case. The judge or the magistrate cannot know the real truth about the case. To know the sweetness of sugar, it is not enough to hold sugar in the hand. We must taste it to know the sweetness of sugar. Although there's water in the bowels of the earth, we have to dig a well in order to get that water. In the same manner, to know what God is, we must experience him fully, directly. We must practice internally and lead the prana to the Brahmarandra in the brain. And there, the prana must become one with Parabrahma. This is seeing God face to face. This is the fulfillment of yoga. This is the eternal peace. We'll leave you pondering that one for a bit. Sonic, let's do the break song, and we'll be back on Meditative Living.
Oh. Shivaya, Namah 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 Shivaya. Shiva,
Namaste and blessings. Thank you so very much for allowing this Swami to be of service today. Whether you're listening live or in the archives at type1radio.com, thank you, thank you, thank you. Moving on with the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. Verse 235, Nityananda said, there is no prescribed food for a neophyte. Peace is the food for the practicer. The highest of all arts is the Brahma Vidya, the art by which God is realized. Such an art cannot be bought for money. It is not got by honor or dishonor. It is not got by the outer fame. It is acquired only by unwavering devotion. Without bhakti, this unwavering devotion, there is no liberation from bondage. Mukti, or freedom, is attained by a man only by the subtle bhakti. Brahmananda is not empty talk, but solid experience. This is the same as Satchitananda. This is acquired by the unceasing practice. All is Brahmananda to one who has realized. The commentary. In Raja Yoga, which is also understood as the royal yoga or the yoga of the final step into full enlightenment and liberation. In Raja Yoga, there is no prescribed food for a neophyte. What is required is the acquisition of peace for the practicer. The highest of all the arts is Brahma Vidya, the art of acquisition of the Supreme. Such an art cannot be bought for money. It is not got by worldly honor or dishonor. It is not got by outer fame. It is got from a guru capable of giving and by the unwavering devotion of the student or disciple. Without devotion or bhakti, there is no liberation from this bondage. Mukti or freedom is attained only by this subtle devotion. What is Brahmananda, or God's bliss, is not empty talk, but a solid experience. Brahmananda is Satchidananda, which means truth, consciousness, bliss. Brahmananda is acquired by the unceasing practice of pranayama. When Godhead is realized, all will be Brahmananda. Everything will be seen to be divine bliss. The entire universe will then be a manifestation of bliss. Kindly allow this, Swami, to mention there's all this talk of bliss. Bliss this, bliss that, bliss some other thing. Ananda, Ananda, Anandas. Okay? Please understand that this bliss being spoken of does have an ecstatic component, aspect, but that comes and goes. The heart rate goes up, the breath becomes shorter, and the body, due to the release of endorphins and brain chemicals, has what most people would categorize as bliss. But bliss is deeper than that. That's a temporary thing that comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. Wonderful, not a problem, but not the pure and maintainable state. The pure and maintainable state comes, from this Swami's point of view, through contentment. Let it be exactly as it is. And you can apply that to everything. Eventually, you will not be able to begin with this right understanding, because what you see, what you experience, will be judged through the outwardly focused mind based on your best interests as an individuated human body and mental constructs, which is entirely normal. But there is more. There's more for you to see, more for you to know, and more for you to understand correctly. Verse 236. Nityananda said, "O mind, banish the idea of duality. Have subtle discrimination. Having abandoned the idea of duality, think that the visible universe is all Shiva, the spotless. There is no distinguish. Have everything within you. That which is permanent is faith. O mind, control the breath. Have internal life. Discover the truth by means of subtle discrimination. That which is related to subtle discrimination is eternal. The essence of every creature is eternal joy. Acquire eternal joy. What is eternal bliss is eternal mukti, or eternal freedom. The mental seat, or posture, is the throne of the king. The eternal seat is the eternal joy. When sat and chit are united, the same is paramananda. The same is called chaitanyananda." The commentary. O mind, banish this idea of duality. Gain subtle discrimination. Having abandoned this idea of duality, think that the visible universe is all Shiva, the spotless, the auspicious. all is Shiva. There is no disguise in this. O mind, have everything within you. Have the entire universe in the self. Develop in you that power which governs the universe. This faith is permanent. Let faith be steady and ever-growing. Let the Atman be realized directly and consciously. O mind, control the breath so that the mind may be desireless. Have internal life living in the subtle. Discover the truth by means of subtle discrimination. That which is related to the subtle discrimination, or the power of God, is eternal. The essence of every creature, all Shiva Shakti, is eternal joy. Acquire this eternal joy. What is eternal ananda, bliss, joy, is eternal mukti, eternal freedom. Mukti is attained when eternal joy is realized. The mental seats, or postures, are the thrones of the kings, the maharajas. In the head of man, there are various seats for the mind. This can be experienced when the prana is led to the heart space in the brain. These mental seats are compared to the thrones of kings. Eternal joy is experienced when the mind takes its seat in the Sahasrara, the thousand-petaled lotus within the head, also known as the crown chakra. When Sat, truth or existence, and Chit, or knowledge or consciousness, are united in this heart space, all is realized. The bliss of eternal consciousness. Verse 237. Nityananda said, all creation is mental. The body is nothing but a means to an end. Shakti is of the Atman. The highest tower is in the head. This is the seat of the Atman. This is the sky of consciousness. This is the greatest support. The Ajna, Ajna, third eye, the sixth lotus of the body, is its support. The seat of Kundalini is the heart sky. What is traveling in a train is the thought of the Atman. The mail train is the Hatha Yogi. The local train is the Raja Yogi. With the acquisition of peace is happiness. The difference is only in time. Although the velocity is the same, time differs. This difference is the delusion of the mind. The commentary. What is creation is a mental affection. When the mind is destroyed, creation ceases to exist. All will then be the one, without a second, even possible. The body is a means to an end, and not the end in itself. The end of man is the realization of the great self, and the body is the means to realize the great self. Shakti, or prana, is of the Atman, the limited, individuated unit of consciousness. What is called the highest tower is not outside, but within the head of man. The Brahmarandra in the brain is this highest tower. Brahmarandra is the seat of the Atman. This is the sky of consciousness. This Chittakasha is the greatest support in man. The seat of Kundalini is the heart sky within the head. The Ajna, Agya, third eye, is great support to the Kundalini. From this, the Kundalini starts on its way to the Sahasrara, the thousand-petaled lotus of the brain. What is traveling in a train is the thought of the Atman. The mail train is a Hatha Yogi. A local train is a Raja Yogi. A Hatha Yogi is fierce and subject to anger at the slightest incitement. A Raja Yogi is calm and collected, like the local train. What is happiness is nothing but the acquisition of peace. The difference between the local and the mail train is only in time. The energy is the same moving both. So also the energy in a Hatha Yogi and a Raja Yogi is the same. The difference is only in the development of that energy. A Raja Yogi is superior to a Hatha Yogi. In the local and the mail train, although the velocity is the same, the time differs. Likewise, the difference between a Raja Yogi and a Hatha Yogi, the difference is time. All are Hatha Yogis in the beginning of sadhana. Sadhana means practice. When perfection is reached, they become Raja Yogis. When the period of sadhana passes and the neophyte attains the highest, a man will be a Raja Yogi. The difference is only in time. The difference of time is the delusion of the mind. When a man transcends, all will be the same to him. The apparent difference is due to Maya, or the illusion. Verse 238. Nityananda said, a man's birth is from his parents. He is first a child. He grows to manhood and himself becomes the parent of children. The difference is due to time. The nature of the child is according to the thought entertained by the parents when they are in union. If the parents entertain devotion, mischief, wrath, activity, desire, etc., at the time of union, the child born to them will imbibe these same qualities. Creation is caused by Vayu's entrance in the womb. If the parents at the time of union have worldly or celestial inclination, the child born will have this same inclination. When the child has the latter inclination, it will be enlightened. The first essential is desirelessness after birth. The destruction of the seed of birth and death comes next. When a man is subjected to repeated sorrows, he must see the light after the exercise of subtle discrimination. What is called apanavayu is the destruction of creation. Apanavayu and the pranavayu must be merged in the Atman. When these two are united, all conditions are annihilated. Before the expiration of prana, one must attain mukti. Then it becomes one, indivisible, losing its duality. The commentary. A man's birth, or a woman's birth, is from their parents. They are first a child, then grow to adulthood, then become the parents of children themselves. The difference in the same person is only due to the passage of time. The nature of the child is according to the thought entertained by the parents when they are in union. If the parents entertain devotion, mischief, wrath, desire, etc., 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 at the time of the union, the child born will bear these same qualities. Creation is caused by the vayu, or the air, the prana, entrance into the womb. If the parents, at the time of union, have worldly or celestial inclination, the child born will have this same inclination. When the child has the celestial inclination, the child will become enlightened. The first essential is desirelessness after the birth. The destruction of the seed of birth and death is the fruit of desirelessness. When a man is subjected by repeated sorrows, he must enlighten himself by using subtle discrimination. What is called apanavayu is the destruction of creation. The apanavayu in man purges out the impurities in him. Both the prana vayu and the apana vayu must be merged in the Atman. When these two are united in the Atman, all conditions are annihilated. Such a man or woman is above all. One must attain mukti before one expires. Mukti, which is the one, indivisible, and which is above duality, should be accomplished by all in this very life. That's a big one right there. So many people will live so many lives without even a thought towards such an accomplishment. Caught up in relationships, caught up in family matters, caught up in business, caught up in sexual relationships, caught up in gain and loss, honor, dishonor, name, fame. And even once these things are accomplished, oftentimes, it's not what you thought it would be. It's not satisfactory. Something's missing. What is that something? Well, that something is freedom, is mukti, is the rising above while being within. It's doable, it's knowable, it's achievable. Same today as it was thousands of years ago and will be thousands of years into the future. The same path. The kingdom of heaven is within. If you don't go looking for it, you're not going to find it. Chase all the outward circumstances, situations, people, places, and things that you wish. Only to find, once you've got all of that, something's still missing. It's not enough. It's not what you thought it would be. That's the truth of the matter. One last verse before we end meditative living today. Verse 239. Nityananda said, Upanayana is the goal of life. Upa means dwelling near. Jivatma, the individual, must be merged in the Paramatma, that beyond the individual. Upanayana is internal. Upanayana is the subtle. What is called upadhi is the third eye. The object to be attained is to be near God. What is upanayana is not the body idea. It is the thought of the Atman. In this world, he who has performed such upadhi is a Brahmin. Upadhi is the Sushumna nerve. It is the Brahma Nadi, where God and goddesses dwell. The commentary. Upanayana is the goal of life. Upa means dwelling near. What is Upanayana is being very near God by realizing. Or her, if that's the way you like. Upanayana is the third eye, or the divine eye, by which one can see God face to face. Upanayana is internal. It is subtle. It is not gross and physical. The object to be attained is to be eternally near God by realizing God. What is Upanayana is not the body idea. Upanayana is the thought of the Atman, that spark off of the divine, which is not different from the divine. A Brahmin is he who has realized the Brahman. What is upadhi is the Sushumna nerve in the body. Sushumna is the Brahma Nadi in the body, where gods and goddesses dwell. Sushumna nerve is the most important nerve in the body. It is through the Sushumna that Kundalini rises to the thousand-petaled lotus of the yogi in the brain, the Sahasrar, starting from Muladhara, the basic lotus of the body, meaning the root chakra. The Sushumna is a subtle path which leads from the root chakra at the base of the spine through the spinal column up into the skull to and through the crown. And this is where you must get. Move the attention, as this Swami mentioned before, inwards. Moving it inwards, you discover Sushumna. Upwards, through Sushumna. Then, outwards, into everything. Again, thank you for allowing this Swami to be of service today. Namaste. And blessings. We'll see you again next week on Meditative Living.